Guns, Superman is filming. The Batman 2 is pushed back. Let's chat.
Everybody, come on, let's get down.
Get down. You know, Freebase, I always have to thank you for the music. It's just the coolest. But yeah, sometimes I need to give a shout out to my buddy Brian too for the video, because I think it complements your song real well.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's kind of like the old VHS kind of feel to it. It's awesome.
That is, isn't it great? I just realized, like, I never thank him. So Brian, thank you. Thank you both. Welcome, gentlemen. I'm doing this from an apartment in Dallas, and so this background's weird. I had a great view of, like, downtown, but it was just bright white, so I had to pull the shades down.
We were
talking about the weather off mic, like old men. What's it?
Yeah, today we're going to be talking about escrow also.
Hey, Bob, you're a little bit, I don't know if I'm the same way, but Bob, your volume's a little bit low. I don't know if that's on.
All right.
There we go. That changed. When you kind of bumped the mic up, that helped. Yeah.
Right. I've got the thing where it says automatically adjust volume, and I guess it's not automatically adjusting me. So yeah. How about that? Is that better? Is that okay?
What do you think, Rick?
He's a little lower than usual, but he's got the Bob voice, so it's okay.
Right. Projection covers up part.
Here we go. How about that? Is that even better?
That's better, yes.
That's better.
All right. Yeah. All right, good.
So as we're continuing old man talk for a second, allergies are killing me today. I'm in North Texas, so I'm not in Houston today. And it's pollen down there, and here I think it's like cedar. It's killing me.
Wow.
Nice. You guys get allergies? We're going to hashtag old man talk.
Yeah, I don't go outside. I don't have to worry. No, I'm kidding. But no, it's not. Every once in a while, maybe. But it just depends on the pollen.
Depends on the year. So thinking about you and outside, or where you're at weather-wise. So you like to cycle, right?
Yeah.
You ride your bike. What is the limit of weather for you? Like, if it's a certain... Oh, man, if it's below 30, I don't go. Below 40, I don't go.
Below 60, I don't go. Yeah, I mean, it's honest to God, when you get down into the 50s and you're riding your bike and there's the wind and you start sweating, it actually gets pretty cold.
Yeah, sure.
I double that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I hope I'm not going out on a limb and seeming a little bit, squeamish about the weather, but... I've actually been out riding when it's been in the 30s and 20s and stuff, but you have to dress up pretty thickly in order to do that. So it's not as fun.
There you go.
Yeah.
And Freebase told us off mic, he's a vampire these days.
Yeah.
You're doing your TikTok until 5 in the morning.
Yeah, well, I'm usually live streaming till about 1:30-ish. But, you know, when you get done, it's like playing a live show. So, I mean, like, it's not like I can go to bed now. It's like you're totally wide awake at that point. So
sure.
I usually just end up, go back in the studio, either do some more recording or do errands I didn't have time to do in the day. So it's like I'm basically, my whole life is flip-flopped right now. Yeah. Wow.
I thought about you last week. So it was spring break in Texas, and my daughters went with me to Austin at a work meeting, and then we just kind of just had fun, went down on South Congress and bounced around. I had forgotten that it was South by Southwest.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. I forgot how you're that close to it. Yeah.
That's right. We came out of a clothes shop that we were in for about an hour. And in that hour, it's like 50,000 people parachuted down where we were. Sure, I mean, it was it was crazy. But anyway, I came out and there was lines of people all up and down South Congress and Austin getting into music venues, just the bands that were playing prior to the festival. And it was just the coolest scene, man.
Well, it's amazing how much obviously it started as a music thing, but obviously now there's the tech side of it. And then the movie, so many movies now debut down at South by Southwest now. So it's become, just basically pop culture, phenom, in Texas there. So it's pretty amazing. I don't tell you, but it's pretty incredible.
Oh, it was just the greatest. And my buddy Chad, we lost him about a year and a half ago, unfortunately, this rare crazy disease, and he was in a band called Bastards of Soul. And Chad was an incredible bass player. You would have loved his work. In fact, I'm going to send you some of his stuff. And then he was a lead singer for Bastards of Soul, and just a dynamic talent. Oh my gosh. Like, I mean, just like you, just one of those people that was just, you guys are just born to be who you are. And apparently he had a, somebody did a documentary on him and I've not seen it. And it was premiering at South by Southwest. So that's when you said that I went, oh wow, that's right. I did, you know, Chad's documentary. So I got to get my hands on that. But it was just a cool scene. I was talking to, I had kids with me, so I didn't stick around too long, but my 12-year-old loved it. 9-year-old was not having it, but I was talking to some musicians. They were all over, man, from New York, Phoenix.
Bootsy was down there. Bootsy did something down there. I think it was like Sunday or something. He did like an outdoor stage thing. It was it was a pretty big deal. Bootsy and Zap, actually. Yeah. So
nice.
Yep.
Bob, have you ever heard of it before? Southwest, Southwest?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think I've submitted something to it before and been rejected. So.
Oh, cool. Well, that sucks.
As a musician?
Yeah. What's that?
As a musician?
No, as a filmmaker, cartoonist.
Oh, you know, nice. Back,
yeah. Sure, I used to run an animation studio. I did a live action independent feature film. Directed and so forth back about 20 years ago. And so we were shopping it around all the film festivals and things like that. Got into some, didn't get into others. But yeah, that's South by Southwest is an enormous event, though. Music, film, obviously, you know, the potential for Alex Jones sightings, which is terrifying. Isn't he in Austin?
He actually is.
Oh, Austin, really? That's what the show's based out of Austin?
InfoWars is in Austin. Yeah.
Right. Wow. As a politics guy, when I think of Austin, I don't necessarily think of South by Southwest. I think, oh, God, that's where Alex Jones
is. Where's Rogan at? Rogan's in Texas now, too.
Yeah, I thought he was in Austin, too.
Yeah, he's in Austin. Then Glenn Beck is here in Dallas. He's in Southlake, which is 30 miles that way. So the Blaze is.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I could drive to the Blaze studio in half an hour from where I'm at right now.
Wow.
Lucky me.
Yeah.
Hey, side note, because I know this is not a political thing, but I'll just say this. You know, Glenn Beck. Oh, see. Okay. I'm breaking my rule here. I'm going to talk politics on this. I'll just say this real fast. No, I won't. Because if I do, it's no better. I'm going to stop. Well, I'll see it for another show. Because I don't want to turn off any. We are apolitical here on Friends from Work. Let's chat. So I'll leave it there. Okay. Yeah, I'm glad. Restraint. Move on, Rick. Get out of your head. Go. All right. So let's talk some pop culture. Before I go on a rant about Glenn Beck. So what's going on, guys? We have Gunn's Superman is filming. Right now.
Yeah.
So excited. All the stuff he's releasing, you know, even the stuff with, what was it, Norway he was at recently? With the Fortress of Solitude. We're assuming it's the Fortress of Solitude, but
safe assumption. Yeah.
So just looks incredible.
It does. I have one minor, it's not an issue because I have not seen the film. A concern is that my only concern about that film is there's a lot of characters in it. And I'm just, and what I love about Superman the movie, the original Richard Donner film, it's really just a film about him. Yeah. And to give Zack Snyder credit, and still actually is a really good, I look at that more of an alien invasion movie with Superman in it versus a Superman movie, but it's a damn good Superman story.
Yeah.
And it is. My opinions of B versus S have nothing to do with that film. I love that film. So what is that concern you guys at all? Like, I just wanted this to be a Superman centric film, and not to say that it's not going to be, it's just, there's a lot of damn characters in this thing. Does that give you a pause?
I'm not overly concerned about that. Yeah. I think we don't know the context yet. I mean, it Correct. Could be, Correct. You know, they show CNN on a TV screen somewhere and you see one of the other characters for, you know, blinking, you missed it a couple of seconds and then they go away. I mean, it could be the possibility for just about anything, but I think, I've never had more confidence in the ability of someone to nail comic book movies as I have with James Gunn.
Yes.
I have so much admiration and affection for both the Suicide Squad and Peacemaker, and then, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy, which, by the way, finally saw part 3 a few weeks ago. Well, it was over Christmas that I saw it. And it seems like a few weeks ago, it's a couple of months ago now, but I finally saw it and I'm still kind of like emotionally recovering from that movie.
Yes.
My God, what an incredible piece of work that was.
Yeah.
I never thought a comic book movie could make me feel the way I felt after I saw Guardians of the Galaxy Part 3 or Volume 3. And so I, between that and The Suicide Squad being just a tremendous movie, and then Peacemaker being maybe my favorite comic book TV series so far, the immense confidence in James Gunn to be able to do this. So I'm just kind of letting go of the handlebars and just riding. I mean, it's just my mentality right now with James Gunn. Just like, whatever he wants to do is fine with me.
And you're absolutely right. And it's just a minor concern. I bet in Gunn we trust. And I will tell you, as you were talking, my mind was going a little bit too about the Nolan film. So bear with me for a second. If you were to list, if you didn't see the Chris Nolan Holy Trilogy of his Batman story or his Bruce Wayne story, very specifically, I like to call it, and you listed the amount of characters that were in it, it would sound like overload. And there was a beautiful balance to it. And so I know Gunn will pull it off. I just, that was my only little minor concern. But I'll tell you, I love the cast. And I didn't know anything about this actor he cast. Nothing. I had to Google who he was. Mm-hmm. But I've seen him in some interviews. And that dude is sharp. Funny. Yeah. He's got a lot of warmth. I'm like, he's Superman. That's great. There's nothing against Henry Cavill or Brandon Routh or anybody else that's ever played him. We've not had a bad Superman outside of Dean Cain. And even really, he was, and even, you know, I just don't like him, but he was fine on the show. We've had some good Supermans. I really feel like this guy is going to hit it out of the park. Freakbank, what do you think? Did you know his work prior to this?
Not too much. I mean, well, wasn't he in Hollywood Babylon, which I didn't see, but I've heard it was. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. But no, I don't know too much about him besides all the same things you said. I've been watching some interviews, some like he's definitely a geek, which is cool. I don't know if you saw that Star Wars thing that was going around.
Oh, yeah.
He
uses the Force.
On Star Wars. Yes, that was what was pretty beautiful. The character obviously Superman, I'm excited about. The person I'm excited about is Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor.
Yeah, oh, nice.
Gosh, I mean, first off, dude is like, I mean, I know. All of us are on the taller side here anyway, but I mean, dude is like, I think he's like 6'5", I think. And you know, obviously he's already gone all in with the shaving of the head and like all the, I just think I love him as an actor anyway. And obviously you guys know he was up for Superman himself actually, which I think was such a cool juxtaposition. The fact that Lex is going to feel like we've never had a Lex. I mean, I guess you could say Gene Hackman a little bit, but that was also like the charming Lex that could also be like, oh, we see why this guy could, you know, be this, you know, entrepreneur businessman that everybody looks up to, and he can pull all this kind of stuff that he does. And looks like he's going to be that type of Lex Luthor. I have a feeling he's going to be a major, major part of the movie, you know, and let alone the Lois Lane casting too, as well. As I'm sure we'll get into as well. I mean,
She's got the fiery. I like her a lot. You know, my favorite Gene Hackman line in all three of the films he did, because he was in Superman 4, not 3. Yeah, that's right. So three of the films is Otisburg. Otisburg. That delivery is so damn good.
He's so great in that.
And then he starts wiping it off. That's a great. What a beautiful film that is. My God, Superman the movies. Think about if that didn't work. That and Batman 89 are the two most consequential comic book films probably ever, because without Superman working, we wouldn't have got Batman 10 years later. Without Batman working, who knows? Who knows what would have happened? You know,
and it's funny we bring this up because I was just thinking about this the other day. Would Superman the movie still have worked if they had cast someone else instead of Christopher Reeve?
I don't know.
He does so much carrying of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Margot Kidder is obviously wonderful. I mean, the rest of the cast is great. But as a story, it's obviously something that Superman fans have seen before. And Christopher Reeve was such a presence as that character and we loved him so much in that role. That the story, I couldn't tell you the third act of that movie, like right off the top of my head. It's just whatever Christopher Reeve had sat there and read a menu in the Superman costume and then ran off and come back as Clark Kent reading a menu again, that'd be fine with me. I'd still watch it over and over again. Just, it's so delightful to see him on screen.
Yeah, so the tagline or the promo line for that film was, You'll believe a man can fly. I think that's how they phrase it.
That's right.
Yeah. And I think to Bob's point, we believed a man could fly because of Chris. Right.
It wasn't the special effects. It was him. Yes.
It was him. And that scene where he flies off the rooftop of Lois's apartment, which, by the way, one of you guys put on Twitter, X, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That was Bob.
That was a
projection.
A projection of it. That's how
of him flying away. Yeah. So he could show up in one shot. He could show up in Clark Kent at the front door of Lois's apartment. So in one shot, we see Superman fly away, and then the camera pans around. Lois goes to the door. There's Clark Kent. How did Christopher Reeve change his costume so quickly? Well, he didn't, because the shot of Christopher Reeve flying away was, I think, projected onto glass or something like that. Almost I don't even think it was like a green screen thing. I think it was straight up in camera. Yeah, camera thing. Yeah.
It's amazing. And and you think about when that film was made. Oh, my goodness. The scene where he comes out of the, I don't know, I guess it's a mall or something, and the guy's like, hey, man, it's a bad outfit. He's like, excuse me. Woo, and he flies up.
Right.
That to this day, I look at that scene and say, if he literally could fly, that's what it would look like. It looks... He flies. I mean, it's just like you can't do any better with that particular scene. In that moment, he flies.
And there's just so many, you know, just a few seconds later in that exact scene, you know, you mentioned that line. Of course, there's the line that remains forever. You've got me, who's got you?
Great line.
Yeah.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
Oh, what a beautiful film. What a beautiful score. And I'm hoping that, and you know, in Man of Steel, we all three love that film. But despite my personal love for it, I have to be honest about the reaction. It was very divided. It was it was a little toxic. Maybe not toxic. Maybe that's not the right word. But it was certainly divisive. And I'm glad we have it. But I do think that we need to have a story or a feel like Guardians Volume 3, Superman the Movie. And that's why I'm glad James Gunn is where he's at. Because I think he's going to deliver... maybe the best Superman movie we've ever had, or at least it's the original one. We'll see.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. He knows what was missing in previous iterations, and I think he's going to deliver that. I mean, I think James Gunn has his own singular vision, but at the same time, James Gunn is a bit of a populist when it comes to writing, constructing these stories, and populating these universes. And so I think in that respect, I think he understands what... not just fans want, but what general audiences will respond to. And so he's not out there necessarily with an agenda to try to twist these characters into some other thing, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying that James Gunn isn't necessarily like that. So I think this is going to be something that has the very real potential. And of course, it has the very real potential to be successful, but of course there's all these X factors now, which is... I think a lot of people have preconceived notions about what this movie should be, and they will be permanently tethered to that take on what it should be. And if it's not that thing, like one of the things that's making me nervous right now is all over Instagram, at least. I don't know if any other social media is like this, probably is. But there are a lot of people doing their own fan versions of what Superman will look like in this movie, what the costume will look like.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And a lot of it's AI, of course, you know, using AI to kind of preconceive these things. But my problem is people become wedded to their designs.
Yeah.
And when the actual Superman in the movie doesn't look like that design, we're like, wow, that sucks. And that's the thing. And that's maybe why we see some of this, as we've talked about in the past, why we see a lot of toxic fandom, because sometimes people get this idea in their heads about what something should be, and they wrap their sort of their social media branding around that thing. And then when it turns out to not be that thing, they feel like they're personally offended by what the ultimate vision looks like.
You're absolutely
right. Rough. Yeah.
We like to write movies in our head, and when we don't get that movie, I mean, that's what happened with The Last Jedi. Yeah. Everybody wrote a movie.
And it's even more than that now. It's now I've got attention based on this idea that I've had in my head. People are responding to this idea. And so this has become my thing. And if it's not, and if the actual thing isn't my thing, then the other thing is bad and my thing is superior. And so that I think breeds this dissatisfaction with something that otherwise would be fantastic. This is why I think a lot of these movies, especially the ones... like, say, for example, the Eternals on the Marvel side. I think history is going to be very kind to some of these movies once all of the internet social media hype has receded into the past. And I think once people start to revisit, maybe 10, 15 years down the line, maybe 20 years down the line, they'll start to realize that, oh, well, wait a second, all of that stuff that was happening on the internet around this particular thing, it doesn't really matter anymore. Because here we are, and I'm seeing the movie for what it's worth without that all that bias going in. Wow, that's actually not a bad movie. And so
right.
I think that's going to be something we'll witness the coming years.
I wonder if with Gunn's going to use, you know, obviously he's known so much for using the hip soundtracks, Guardians being the most obvious that. But he does it in his other, you know, Suicide Squad had a little bit of that too. Peacemaker, of course, did. I wonder if we're going to get like pop culture. I mean, I know there's going to be a great score, of course. I'm sure he's going to stick to that. But like, actually, if there's going to be actual like
little rock and roll in there.
Yeah, yeah. And if so, what era, you know, is he going to go Guardians, like, you know, late 70s, early 80s? Or is it going to be more current? Or, you know, what's he, you know, what's he going to do there if he does that at all?
I want Superman. Go ahead.
I was going to say, he writes to the specific, I mean, he puts the music in the script. He doesn't leave that to a music supervisor necessarily. He just goes directly to it in the first draft. It's, I want this song to play here because it's so woven in. And commentary track on The Suicide Squad is really informative in terms of James Gunn's style going into these things. I haven't seen the commentary tracks on the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, but The Suicide Squad one is revelatory in terms of James Gunn's style on these things. I think we're going to see the same kind of template going into all the other movies.
Yeah.
This is a great discussion because I didn't even think about that. You know, going slightly off topic here, slightly. I love the usage of AC/DC in Spider-Man, especially when he's like, I love Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, that's great.
Back in Black, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's great. I wouldn't be mad to see Superman flying to kickstart my heart, and maybe Clark Kent's got a little Secrets from Van Halen playing at some point. I can feel it.
I guess the other big question too is with Clark Kent, is he going to do the Christopher? I mean, you know, is Clark Kent going to be the kind of bumbling Clark Kent, you know, the more the Christopher Reeve Clark Kent, or is he going to be more the serious, you know, Clark Kent, you know, reporter Clark Kent?
You know, what's interesting, back when in 03 and 04, when I was making my rounds and doing an auditioning for what ultimately became Superman Returns, it was interesting when we were, and this is before Singer was attached to it and then right as he was, but we were instructed, directed to play Clark very humble but very grounded. And then what was interesting is that when the movie came out, of course Brandon Routh was cast and did a fine job for what he had to work with. He's a really good Superman. But it was a Chris Reeve impression. And you know, that's really the original sin of that film, is that it was trying to be its own Superman 3 with a pre-existing Superman that's been gone 5 years and everybody looks 20 years old. It was just didn't work. But I found that really odd because that's not how we were directed to play it. And then you get Henry Cavill, who is a really good actor and is a damn fine Superman. But I don't think there was enough distinction between his persona as Clark and Superman. That part needed some more fine tuning. And maybe we would have gotten that as if he would have been able to grow in the role, right? So it'll be really interesting to see what Gunn does with that, because you it's the dumbest what's the word here? Cover up costume, you know, ever. It's just,
glasses. Barely a disguise. I mean, it's not barely a disguise.
The disguise
is Clark Kent wearing the glasses.
That's right.
Now he takes the glasses off. That's the interesting thing about Superman, apart from everything else, is that all the other superheroes put something on to disguise themselves. Superman kind of takes things off.
Great monologue at the end of Kill Bill Volume
2. Oh, I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, it's a great monologue.
Oh, it's great.
Great monologue, and you're absolutely right. So, but what are we going to get here? It'll be fun to watch. I will tell you, I have a lot of faith in this film. And we talked about Batman 89 and working. We're going to talk a little Batman real quick too, but did you guys see Michael Keaton at the Oscars?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that just great fun?
So much. He is so good at the face, just doing the expression. Yeah,
he's forever Batman.
Was and thinking he was, really quick too. Not to get off topic, but this is kind of on topic. But I went back recently, probably in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and rewatched The Flash. You know, because it's on HBO Max now. And you remember probably our last time we had a podcast was right around when that movie dropped, I believe, because we were talking about it pretty extensively then. And then, you know, I know all the stuff around it and all the drama and online drama and all the Ezra stuff and so on and so on. That movie's still a damn good movie.
It really is.
I think you're talking about movies aging. I think that's going to be one of them. Like, you know, that is like, and generally, first off, it's super rewatchable, like incredibly rewatchable, and almost not to the Back to the Future side, not to that level, but it's in that same kind of vibe. You know what I mean? Right. Obviously, with the subject matter too. So, yeah, and the reason, you know, with us talking about Keaton, I mean, like the first scene with the Chicago record playing and that whole scene too as well, when we first meet Batman for the first time, that whole sequence in Wayne Manor is just, it's brilliant. It's so good.
It's a damn good film. It's a really, really good comic book movie.
Ezra's incredible in it too. I mean, it's totally believable. This is two different people and it's one person doing that whole role, you know?
And it's funny. I didn't think I was going to find the annoying past Barry to be as engaging as he was. I mean, obviously there's a level of annoying built into the character, but I wasn't personally annoyed when I thought I was going to be. And so therefore I did spend a lot of time in that movie laughing, and I was kind of surprised how often I was laughing. I mean, between just the interplay of the two Barrys, and then, you know, there were references to the Lord of the Rings and all kinds of things in there that just had me laughing in the movie theater. And that seldom happens. I mean, I've done this, I've been watching these movies and working in the realm of animation and filmmaking and things like that for many, many years. And so it's a challenge for me to actually find something that makes me laugh out loud in a movie theater now. And this certainly did. And I think you're exactly right, Freak. I think this is going to be one of those things that maybe 20 years from now, kids are going to rediscover The Flash without all the baggage and say, hey, wait a second. This is kind of an excellent successor to not only the sort of swan song of the DCEU, but also to those Tim Burton movies. So
absolutely. Yeah. That's very well said. To go back to the Oscars, and we'll tie it into this, you're looking at him, and Michael Keaton, and he dresses like Bruce Wayne. He told Jimmy Kimmel somebody, he was on some talk show where he told him.
Yeah, the ascot. He was talking about how he brought an ascot. And then Jimmy Kimmel asked him, how many ascots do you actually own? And he said, about 2,000.
But you're watching him, you're like, he's forever Batman. God, I wish he could be Batman again. And I go, wait, he was Batman again in The Flash. So let's cherish it. And I think you guys are right. I think people are going to rediscover this movie, and people are probably going to be like, how is this thing not a hit? This is great stuff. You know, I hope so. And I hope that we see him again. You know, I'm not ruling out that we may not see him again. I don't know with Under Gunn how he would do that and when, but I hope that somehow we do. But
Batman Beyond is the obvious.
That's the obvious one. And unfortunately, we're not going to. Batgirl is. I would love to see those scenes though. Every scene he's in, feed him to us. Come on, just give us more Keaton as Batman. He's fucking great, man. He's great. And what I really like, I like some of the toxic absolutism fandom that had a little bit of a meltdown because that was not George Clooney and that was Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze. I'm like, A, get a life, settle down. B, that's how great Michael Keaton is that you can apply him to any film. He's just Batman. He's in The Dark Knight, whatever. I mean, he's Batman. All these other great Batmen that are around him. And but God, that was a lot of fun. Because at first I thought Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger were going to talk about twins. We're here for obvious reasons. I thought they were going to say something about that film that we both tried to kill. And Arnold Schwarzenegger's like, Batman, that son of a bitch. It's funny. So good.
What do you think about getting back to Superman really quick? I know we're hopping around a lot, but what about the S? Is everybody down with the new S?
I think what I saw looks great. I'm not.
Yeah, the color scheme was good. I mean, it's not my favorite S logo, but I don't. Yeah. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. You know, it's just like a matter of one notch this way or that way. But the color scheme is spot on. So once again, you know, just going back to Guardians and the Suicide Squad and Peacemaker, Gunn knows what he's doing, and I think he's not going to give us a crappy, stupid-looking Superman suit. So I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah. I do hope that he puts out a press photo soon of him in costume, because there's already leaks.
Yeah.
There's already.
Oh, no, I don't think that was real though. I think that was a fake. I think that was
not him.
Oh, okay.
No, just on set, other characters.
Yeah, I've seen that too. Right?
Yeah. And so that's he. You know, so far, nothing's leaked of him officially. Well, officially leaked is a weird statement, but you know what I mean. Nothing that's actually him. It's all AI stuff. But before it does, because it's inevitable, I hope that he beats that. Because I don't want some shitty iPhone photo to be my first impression of his Superman.
Yeah.
Just put it out there and get it out of the way.
Gunn did someone out, you know, he's obviously, as we know, very active on social media, and someone asked him on Threads about that exact question. What do you put official? And I think he said something along the lines of the movie's a year away. I'm not ready yet. So yeah. I'm sure he's gonna try hold it off a little bit longer if he can, you know.
Yeah, and you know, who knows? Maybe they've not even shot with him on set in costume yet. It's possible.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I wonder if they did. I wonder if they, because the preview shot that we got of the logo, also there was snow on it. You remember? There was so maybe in that set where they were in Norway or whatever, Superman was there, and that's how the snow ended up. I'm probably overthinking this, but I suspect that Superman was there on set. Too, yeah. I just didn't see in the.
Well, the snow's there for a reason, and it strikes these conversations. You know, I'm excited about what he's going to do. I mean, obviously, there's a lot riding on this movie. This has got to work. If this thing doesn't work, it puts his whole entire universe in jeopardy, I'm afraid. And the Batman was pushed up a year. I have some friends that are super concerned about that. I'm really not. I'm disappointed because I really like the Batman a lot, despite some issues I do have with the film. Overall, I like it a lot, and I'm almost like more excited about where it's going than the film itself. Right, the original film, the Penguin show on Max, the Chapter 2 of the Batman, etc. But it does suck because it's going to be 4 years. You know, from the original one to the sequel. But I don't think that this means it's not getting made. In fact, to me, it's more of a, they're just being more strategic. It's not the only film that got moved around. There's all kinds of, the studio was moving all kinds of stuff around. What about you guys? Y'all have any thoughts on that? And let's all keep in mind too, again, we'll get the Penguin, so there'll be a bridge. And I'm sure Pattinson's in the film or in the show at some point.
I want to say something controversial, and you know, this is again obviously speculation too as well. And
go for it.
I would still not be 100% surprised if this is our Batman in the James Gunn universe. If Pattinson is, I know everything's supposed to be separate. It's supposed to be its own Batman in the world and everything. But with it, the pushing back thing to me. They're doing so, obviously you guys heard about the Teen Titans thing that just got announced a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. They're doing so much next to Superman. So much of Gunn's universe is going to be reliant on the Batman universe from everything that I seem to be reading. And again, this is, you know, this sounds probably crazy. And I know probably Bill from Batman News will like say I'm crazy, you know, because it's probably, you know, speculative, but it's just the timing. It's like, you know, are you talking about then Gunn's Batman being in like 2030? I mean, like, you're really, really starting to, you know, I don't know. I know. And evidently, Andy Muschietti still is on the film, The Brave and the Bold, right? So I don't know. What do you guys think of it? I mean, I know that's probably not the. That's a stretch. I know.
Well, here's what I would say to that. You never know. First of all, I'm not going to pretend like I know one way or the other.
Sure.
My instincts tell me that that's not going to be the case because I don't think, just like Nolan's Batman, that Superman even is supposed to exist in that world.
Right. Right.
But you know what'll be very telling is when Superman comes out. And we feel it, when we feel that universe that he's creating, and then say, can Matt Reeves' Batman fit in this universe? And maybe it can. We haven't seen it yet. You know. I mean, set aside the fact that there's an alien flying around. Obviously, that in itself is something that people would maybe have an issue with because they would rather have it more grounded.
Right.
But there's still a way that film could feel that you could say, yeah, you could apply these characters into that world. So who knows?
James Gunn can go dark.
Just seems so hard for me to like. I don't think Gunn's going to want two Batmans simultaneously. I just don't. That's the reason why they canceled, or not canceled, but well, whatever you want to call it. You know, Superman and Lois. I mean, you know, they came out straight and said that we didn't want to cause the reason why this is the last season of Superman and Lois, which is great, by the way. I love that show. I never thought I'd enjoy a CW show as much as I do, but the but it feel like he said straight out that he didn't want confusion in the general audiences of that. So that means if that's the case, well, 2026, is that right? Is right? Isn't that what it's going to be coming out? The Batman 2, right? 2026, right?
Yeah, October 2026.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking, I mean, like I said, maybe 2028, 2029 for James Gunn's new Bat, whatever that iteration of Batman is. It's just true. That's, you know, I mean, it is what it is, you know, but, I don't know. That's the part that I can't wrap my brain around. It's not, I understand all the grounded part. I love the grounded part. This is not wishful thinking, by the way. I like my Batman with no other gods in his world. I love the grounded Batman. So, but I'm just saying that's me just speculating.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably not going to happen that way, Freak, with all due respect. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it would create way too much confusion, which already exists, which is why I think they're pushing the Batman 2 back so much, because they don't want general audiences to go, well, which is the Batman that belongs with Superman? I don't understand what's going on here. True. And so, the Batman started as part of the DCEU, and because it was originally supposed to be Ben Affleck, and then they recast because Affleck stepped away and then made it its own separate thing. And so there was already built-in confusion. Like, what is this? Where does this go? Sure. Is this part of the other thing, or is this not? And so in that regard, I think pushing it back is probably a wise move to let the DCU, James Gunn's DCU, establish itself before there's another sort of confusing Elseworld thing for general audiences. So, but then to mix those, I could see the wisdom in trying to merge all of this back together and try to squish it back in. But I think what James Gunn is going to go for with all of this is simplicity, keeping it simple rather than more confusion. Because the DCEU was just rife with confusion. What is this? Who's doing this movie? Why is there two versions of this other movie? And so that is, I think they're jettisoning that. My only concern about the Batman 2 is David Zaslav. David Zaslav?
No, right.
Yeah.
Right.
He, who knows what the hell he's going to do? He's just this goddamn crazy wild card.
He could pull
the plug on any movie and bury it even when it's like 3 days away from premiering or whatever.
Right.
It's that's the thing that concerns me about all of it, that there's going to be some great thing that's happening cinematically and then suddenly it's gone. Why? Oh, he decided to go for the whatever it is, the insurance payoff or however they're.
Well, the good news is obviously the Batman obviously made had a pretty good payday at the box office. I know it wasn't $1 billion, but it was still in the $750 range. So,
yeah, it was like $750. But I mean,
the Batgirl had Michael Keaton in it, for God's sake, as Batman, and they were like, true. Oh, yeah, screw it. It doesn't matter. These are heartless people who have no qualms whatsoever about, you know, Godzilla stomping something that they can make a profit off of. And so the art, the quality, it's irrelevant if there's greater money to be made with not releasing it than there is releasing it. So it's kind of a sad, awful fact of the matter, fact of life with Warner Brothers right now.
Yeah, he is a wild card. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. I would still love to see the Batgirl stuff. Just again.
Oh, God,
Everything
I've seen has been great. And Oscar-winning performer Brendan Fraser playing the villain in this.
It's great. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
I hope we get it somehow. And just again, more Keaton the better. And there's some great. Yeah. I mean, I want to see him, you know, standing next to his car, driving the car. Like, all this stuff was filmed. Like, can we please see this?
Right.
Please, just get it to us somehow. Like, feed us. We deserve it.
I think we'll eventually see it. That's my prediction.
And it will
eventually get dropped.
One way or the other, we'll see it. Even if it's coming in like just scenes being dropped or whatever, yeah. I think we'll get our hands on it. But I'm not going back to the Batman real fast. I'm not personally overly concerned about the pushback because the move up, the date change, whatever. It's just because there's so much going on. And there's a lot of films. P.T. Anderson's film was pushed up a year also. So they're scrambling around. I just want to get it. I want to see it. I want Matt Reeves to tell a story and finish a story. And I'm really glad we're getting the Penguin. So, and I get very subconscious when I say that word because my Texas comes out when I say Penguin. I got to really watch it, man.
I never noticed that. That's
same thing with S-T-E-E-L and S-T-I-L-L. I have no distinction when I say those two words. So like Man of Steel, Steel. I got to
watch it. How do you say Penguin, Rick? How do you say it again?
No, I can't. Don't do that to me. The Penguin. Penguin? I don't know.
Penguin? Sounds right. Sounds right. Okay. To me.
I'm over initiated because I have to, it's like, I have a friend named Lee and he's a regular guy. I have to say regularly. Otherwise I can't say it. Well, let's shift gears a little bit here. Let's close the show out with a topic dear to our hearts, guys. And that is Van Halen. And the reason
that is
I'll
gear shift.
That is yeah, a gear
it's,
shift.
It's a gear shift. It's a massive gear shift. Any final thoughts on Batman or whatever, feel free. Or y'all, you guys have anything else?
I just want to know what you guys think. I'm curious, is first off, are we getting any Joker, and is the Joker going to be the main? I'm pretty sure we're getting the Barry, is it Keoghan? Is that the way you pronounce his last name?
I think so.
I mean, he's been pretty coy in interviews when they ask him about that. So I'm pretty sure he's going to be in it at some capacity. I've heard the Hannibal Lecter thing where he's going to be more like how that little deleted scene was what we saw before. But are we going to get Joker in two? And is he going to be the main villain, do you guys think?
I think Mr. Freeze is going to be the main villain.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah.
I'll say this. He's definitely going to be in it. You have to have the Joker. When you have Batman, you have to have the Joker. It is the best, like, juxtaposition in literature. A guy dressed up as a bat is a vigilante and a crazy clown. I mean, how do you just can't escape the badassery of that. Yeah. And so, you know, I'll never, if there's a Batman story being told, it has to have the Joker in it, in my opinion. I think that he'll definitely be in it. To what capacity? I don't know. I do like the Hannibal Lecter idea and that premise. And we already got to see a little bit of that. So
right.
I'm all in. I'm all in no matter what.
I love that a Batman character, the Joker, has become this prestige character to play among Hollywood actors. It's the
like
only, the only comic book movie character where portraying that character has won actors Oscars.
That's right.
I don't know if there's any Oscar winning character twice. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Ledger and Joaquin Phoenix. It's a remarkable thing. This funny little universe that we follow as fans also is an Oscar winning endeavor, which
absolutely.
Is just really exciting.
It just goes to the heart of how great these characters are and they stand the test of time. Mm-hmm. Okay. Van Halen. Here's why I want to shift to Van Halen, because there's some Van Halen news. First of all, I don't think that we're, and for those that are listening, the three of us, we have a prestigious musician. We have, I think Bob's a amateur musician. Are you? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
And I used to play bass, but I was terrible.
I didn't know that. Wow. Yeah, we have three bass players here. Now, well, Bob, you're back into it, right?
Yeah. I'm picking it up just for the first time in maybe 20 years.
That's awesome.
I picked up my bass, put new strings on it, got a new processing unit. It's like, you know what it's like? I've compared it to this. Not to get too off on a separate topic, but you know, like someone who's been married a long time and then suddenly gets divorced and they're suddenly on the dating scene. Like, oh, what's this new thing that they have now? And that's what it's like now getting back into actually playing music again. There's all kinds of new things that didn't exist the last time I was playing bass. It's really fun to kind of reintegrate into all the new technology and the processing technology as well. And it's just really exciting.
That's great.
Not only am I glad that I met Jen, because she's like the love of my life and my best friend and we're married and I couldn't be happier. But I'll tell you what, I don't ever, ever, ever want to be on the dating scene again in the dating app world. It was awful. I feel sorry for those that are out there.
Yeah, it's funny. There was a TV series, and now we're getting really off topic, but there's an amazing mini-series that was on Hulu, and it's called Fleischman is in Trouble, and it's with Jesse Eisenberg and Lizzie Kaplan and Claire Danes, who just does like the performance of a lifetime in this. And in this, Jesse Eisenberg's character is suddenly divorced and is back on the dating scene and using online app dating and just getting, I'm just having sex like every night with multiple women all the time. As soon as he logs in and sets up an account, he's flooded with requests. You know, it's like a Tinder kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, is that really what it's like? Like guys are able to get on these apps and suddenly they've got all this kind of sexual attention and they can just have sex with whoever they want based on these app hookups. I don't know. Is that
since
I've clearly been someone who's been in relationships since the 90s. So
since I am happily married, I'm going to have to respect my wife and my marriage. So to talk about my dating life would be weird, but I'll just say this. That was not my experience.
Okay. Thank you.
At all. Okay. No. Right. I'll leave it. And that's safe to say. It's an honest answer. And it's safe to say it was a weird deal, man.
But I do strongly recommend Fleischman Is in Trouble as a season series.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wonderful, wonderful movie with kind of a twist ending. So you got to
see. Is it a movie or a series?
It's a TV series, a mini series.
Yeah. Mini-series. Okay, I got it. Perfect.
Yeah. I think it's 8 episodes or 10 episodes, something like that. But just, I think the one of the big sleeper series of the past couple of years. I think it deserved more attention, certainly for Claire Danes, whose performance was staggeringly good.
I've loved her since Romeo and Juliet, which I still find. Yeah. I still love that movie, by the way. I love that film. Van Halen. Okay, so just to wrap the show up here on Van Halen. So couple of Van Halen things that came up in the news lately is what I was saying, we're at the top that we're all three heavy, major Van Halen fans. And we actually did a podcast after the passing of Edward Van Halen a couple of years ago. Probably for me, I don't really have a favorite band per se, but when I never get tired of listening to Edward Van Halen play the guitar, I never get tired of those songs. None of them. The only album I don't listen to or music, I don't listen to Van Halen 3, which had its anniversary over the weekend, in fact. That one was a misstep, in my view. I think Gary Cherone's a fantastic talent. I just don't think those songs were good. I don't think they were writing good songs on that record. Mm-hmm. But it's not terrible. And there's some good stuff on there, but it's not in my circulation. But anyway, so that record turned, that came out, what year did that come out, 97? Is that right? That it was released, whatever the year was, it was released on that day 2 days ago. But here's the news, other than Wolf Van Halen and David Lee Roth getting into their little petty bullshit stuff. I'm not a fan of that. I don't like that nonsense. Alex Van Halen has a book coming out called Brothers. And this is the first time he's, come out of into the public forum at all. And obviously he hasn't yet, but I'm curious what you guys think of that. Are you gonna be reading it? I think we probably all three will. We certainly should do a show on it, but I'm curious, is he gonna get out there and do interviews? Is he gonna, are we ever gonna see any kind of tribute to Eddie Van Halen with his brother playing the music? I know it's kind of a loaded twofer there, but frequent, what do you think? About the book, you're gonna read it, and what's Alex Van Halen gonna do?
No, well, I mean, that's the first time I've heard of this, actually. You telling me this right now, this is news to me. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's wild, because he's been, I mean, his whole, brand has been pretty much the quiet support system for his brother and that family. So it's for him to, I mean, do you know anything? Is it like a tell-all type thing, or do you even know what this would like? No, nothing's leaked yet, as far as you know.
As I understand it, the book is going to talk about their whole life together, from living in where are they from originally?
Like Helsinki or something like that, or
Belgium. Thank you.
Right.
So from growing up and then moving to Pasadena, starting all of it. It's his whole life with his brother. And it's not just about Van Halen per se, the band. It's about them. That's really all I know. And how in detail is he going to get into the David Lee Roth drama and the Sammy Hagar stuff? All that, probably a little bit. I don't know how you it's that's part of their story,
right?
When you think about all their lineup changes too, it's kind of crazy. Like it's the original four, and then with Sammy, and then back with Dave for a year. People sometimes forget that. I gave 96 to Dave. Meowise Majesty.
Oh, yeah, by the way, I was wrong. It's actually the Netherlands.
The Netherlands, that's right. Yeah, yeah. You said Belgium, I just went, yeah.
But those two countries for some
reason. Netherlands, yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
They're Dutch, half Dutch, half Vietnamese. Dutch,
right. Yeah. In fact, there's some good stuff on YouTube of them doing interviews and speaking Dutch.
Buffalo. Has Alex ever done anything outside of Van, like as a drummer?
No.
Outside of Van Halen?
No.
You know, even sit-ins or anything. I can't even think of one. You know
Sammy,
I
mean? Sammy Hagar's on record recently. I mean, semi-recently, at least in the last year or so, talking about the fact that he's never played with anybody but his brother.
That's yeah.
So, but, you know, Bob, did you know about the book?
I had no idea until just today.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I hope it's not too ugly, but I'd like to know more details. Like, I'm just coming off reading Geddy Lee's book, and so many revelations in that was, I mean, just every page was like something new that I had no idea about Rush or Geddy Lee's life. And I hope the Alex Van Halen story is the same way, but there's the potential for it to obviously cause more tension among all the former members and...
Sure.
I'm kind of done with that level of drama.
Go ahead, Rick.
I was going to say one sly comment about Dave or Sammy and a 500 page book. That's going to be the headline. That's going to be what the book's about. One line, you know?
Well, what I'm interested to see is, you know, and you guys both know this, but like bass players and drummers have this like kind of special relationship in any band you play in. There's like this different thing. There's this like different energy that you have with any other musician in the band because you're so closely like related, both musically and like the way you get like very rarely do the bass players and drummers ever get into it, like, you know, just in general, just because that they have to be almost like this. So yeah. The Michael Anthony thing is the thing I'm actually just as curious about, as opposed to, I know David Lee Roth is going to be the one getting all the headlines, but like what's his relationship with Michael like now and then and all that kind of stuff, you know?
I wish I could interview Michael Anthony. There's so many things I would love to ask him. One of the things I would like to ask him is, tell us why, in your view, were you not with the band those last 8 or 9 years of touring and the 2012 yeah. record, and hear it from him. And also I would love to hear also, you know, we know about the VH1 semi reunion with Dennis Miller. And they come out with Dave and, you know, everybody freaks out and then they give the award to Beck. But they recorded two songs and they're really good. I want to talk to Michael Anthony about that. Tell us about that process. What was that like writing and recording with Dave again? Was everything, yeah. what peel back that onion a little bit. There's a lot of stuff I'd love to pick his brain about. And you know, they did him dirty, man. Like he was on Eddie Trunk's show. You guys, Eddie Trunk, right?
Yeah.
And this was back right when they started touring with Wolf. So it was like 06 or 07. I think that's about right. But anyway, he was on the show and they re-released the original record. And apparently they faded out his visual. So he just kind of wasn't, it's almost like they were trying to erase him. And he was talking about how bummed he was.
Insane.
Yeah. He's like, that really hurt. And I think it's just because he was touring with Sammy and they didn't like it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and with him, painful. He's such a unique, besides obviously his bass playing, which, you know, was such a huge foundation of that band, but, you know, the vocal thing too, as well. I mean, his vocals are so, especially on those early albums, were so powerful. You know, I mean, he was basically almost the lead singer. David was just the, you know, the ice, you know, all the choruses are mostly Michael, I've always heard.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hearing the vocals
here's my thing with Michael. I think one of the reasons he was with the band for so long is because he was such a nice guy and agreeable.
Sure.
Because clearly, I don't think Eddie Van Halen had a lot of respect for Michael Anthony as a bass player. Because, Freak, you know as much as anyone that if you listen to some of those albums, it's almost like the bass was mixed out of the album.
Yeah.
Like it was just completely removed. Especially when you start to get into the Sammy era. Finding the bass in those mixes is a real challenge. I mean, there's some earlier albums where you can definitely hear what's going on with Michael Anthony, but
of course,
I don't know. I remember reading at the time that Eddie was just, he wants the guitar to be the spotlight and doesn't want anything interfering with that sound, and certainly keyboards later on. But Michael Anthony is just, where is he? I don't know. Is he even, did they even record a bass line for this song?
He got the injustice for all treatment.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. Like, you wonder, like, is New there Sid a bias there. Against the bass guitar or what? What's? But I think Michael Anthony was very agreeable and very diplomatic about the fact that his parts were kind of mixed way down, if not entirely out. And so in that regard, I think being a nice guy about that preserved his longevity with the band.
And the bigger irony
is that that Wolfie's playing is much more upfront in A Different Kind of Truth, which is interesting. Yeah. Like, okay, well, this bass we can have up front in the mix, but Michael Anthony's bass maybe not.
Wolfie's really quick. So I'm sorry, Rick, but in Wolfie's solo thing, isn't he more the guitar?
Oh yeah, he's the guitarist. But last Van Halen album with David Lee Roth, A Different Kind of Truth, he played bass on that.
Underrated record. I mean, it really is.
Oh my God, there's so many great songs.
They should not have released Tattoo as the first single.
If you get rid of Tattoo. In fact, I shut off Tattoo on my.
Yeah, playlist. It's that. That
I didn't
that,
even
that,
listen to that, but everything else is so good.
That's a David Lee Roth solo song, is what that is. And you know, from like, you know, not from 1986 solo, but like his 1994 solo stuff. Well, anyway, so when the book comes out, we'll read it. Yeah, it's called Brothers, Alex Van Halen. So. We'll see. Maybe there'll be something that comes up. All right, guys, we've been talking an hour. We all got to get out of here. Let's do some plugs and hit the road. Freak, what's up, buddy? You TikTok king, you.
Temporarily.
So it gets banned?
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, but yeah, that's it. I'm just, you know, on TikTok every single night, 10 p.m. Eastern time, 7 p.m. Pacific. It's just at FreakBass, FreekBass, creating new music and every single night. I've been releasing a single a month right now too as well. So that's pretty much it. Just living the life online.
Are you going to be touring at all?
I will. I'm going to be doing some festival stuff this summer. Next year is when I'm going to really start. Things are going to start getting really crazy in terms of on the road stuff for me right now. So
Bump Assembly going to be out with you?
I'm not sure how much Bump Assembly stuff. So I'm working with this new PR management agency out of the UK right now. And it's definitely geared more towards the EDM kind of sound, you know, kind of a lot of stuff I do online, you know, so, you know, basically bass and electronic beats and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to be kind of definitely more in that world. I've been doing tons of remixes and things like that too as well. So next year, I'm sure I'm going to be doing a lot of more festival oriented stuff too as well. We're already gearing up for that right now.
That's awesome. Please come to Texas.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Any of it. Well, don't go to El Paso. I can't make that. That's too far.
Okay.
That's like the side that is how big Texas is, like El Paso. No. That's, I might as well just drive to California. But Dallas, Houston, Austin, any of those three markets, man, please.
Yeah, I miss Austin. We came close to moving to Austin at one point, you know, probably 10, 15 years ago, So, I have a soft spot in my heart for that part of the world, for sure.
Austin's a great town. It really is. I don't know, people always like, you live in Houston and Dallas both? Like, I do. You don't live in Austin? No, that's the place I actually want to be, but... Just kids.
It's pricey now, though, too, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's too much. Yeah. It's insane. All right, Bob, where can we find you, sir?
You know, one thing I haven't mentioned on this show before is that I do a talk show my podcast is a talk show. It's a politics talk show. But one of the things I do is out of commercials, I play independent recording artists like FreakBass. And so if you're a recording artist, if you have a band and you're recording music actively, you can submit it to the show at bobsesca.com/music. And we play about maybe 40 seconds, the first 40, 50 seconds of each track. Sometimes we'll play a full track on occasion, certainly on my Patreon page, which is bobsescashow.com, right here on the the thing right there. And so, so that's my podcast. Nice. You can find it wherever you get your podcast, Bob Seska Show. And there it is.
The world's greatest radio voice. That great tweet you put up about your aunt, and she's the one that inspired you to go into broadcasting.
It's my one degree of separation from James Bond and The Shining, which that's is my aunt was married to Barry Nelson, who plays the Overlook manager at the beginning that shows Jack Nicholson around the Overlook Hotel in the beginning of that movie.
That's so cool. But we responded on our handle on Twitter, was like, I think anybody that heard your voice the first time you spoke probably predicted that you were going into broadcasting, because it's one of the greatest voices in radio. period.
Oh, my God, thank you.
Period. So I'm honored to have you guys.
Can you hear me? Is my volume okay?
Yeah. So, no, you are. I'm honored to have you both as guests. You're good friends of mine. You're both so immensely talented. In fact, thank you all for supporting the show. We've seen an uptick in downloads, on especially on iTunes. Good. So that is really great. Just stick with this. We're going to be putting out as much content as possible. Thank you all very much. And in fact, why don't we go out with a little freak bass right now? Go ahead, sir.
One final question, because bring it back to the Superman thing. We didn't cover. Are we going to get trunks or no trunks?
No trunks.
I say trunks.